Hi everyone, welcome back to the Like Her podcast. It's been a hot minute since I've done a podcast, almost a year, and it's been a bit of a funny year for everyone. So I wanted to bring back the podcast just to have a little glimmer of hope and inspiration when we're all having a bit of a shit time. So this is the 15th episode, I just counted, 15th episode of Like Her. And today's guest, I'm really excited about because I think it's a really good kickoff to, I guess, season three of the podcast. So today's guest is Ellen Downes, who is an artist and also training to be a teacher and has started, I don't want to say movement, but like concept of body casting and exhibiting the casts in exhibitions. So today we're going to talk about how Ellen got into body casting, the process of casting, my experience of being cast. I got cast about a month ago. And generally women's relationships with their bodies and body image. So a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. Hello.
Thank you.
I'm out of breath now.
That was such a great introduction.
Was it? That was sometimes like just the first go. Did you notice I wasn't looking at you? I had to like zone out a bit just to like concentrate. Sometimes the first go without any like rehearsal works out better.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get started. Did you say the casting you did of me was the first one in the UK?
This year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I learned last summer and I did, how many did I do? I think I did three in the UK and they were my first cast and they were like,
yeah,
not the best,
not what you wanted them to be.
And then I went to Vietnam where I lived for 2 years and got the technique down and really kind of mastered the art of body casting. So yeah, it was the first one.
Cool.
Which is really lovely.
So let's just talk about what it is. If people don't understand what we're talking about in terms of body casting, it's like when you break a limb and you have plaster of Paris put over, but you do it in a much nicer artistic way and you cast bodies. So let's go right back to the beginning of how you started, because it's quite a good story, I think, and how you got involved in it.
So 2015 at Shambhala Festival.
Great intro.
Going back, yeah. Take it back 5 years. I can't remember why. I can't even remember the moment that I decided that I was going to get the cast done. I think I just remember walking into the tent with my partner at the time, and we both had our cast done at the same time. It was a really lovely experience to do together.
Who was doing them? What was the...
So it was a woman called... Shauna Wilson, she's an artist, and she was doing a big installation at the festival that was about Greek mythology. So she was putting different couples together. So it was like the heterosexual, lesbian couple, lots of different types of love that she was presenting and kind of lighting up in the forest. It was really beautiful.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were part of that. And at that time, I think I'd had a bit of a strange relationship with my body. I'd felt that my body was objectified mainly since I was a teenager. That was like, my body was something that if it was on show, I felt self-conscious, and that it was kind of that horrible thing that girls have instilled in them, that it's like, if you wear something tight fitted, you're inviting unwanted attention. Exactly.
More on that later. We should definitely talk about that.
Yeah, so important to talk about. So I kind of had that and generally wore things that were not figure hugging. Wasn't a huge issue, but that was definitely.
But the fact that you even have to think about it as like essentially a child is just horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we're entered into that world a lot sooner than maybe men realise. But yeah, I remember like a really strong experience I had when I was aware that a man was looking at me, and it was a teacher at school, and I was like 13. And I think it was maybe because I was as tall as I am now, so really, really tall, really, really skinny. All my school skirts were short on me, and so I was just this gangly, like, little thing. And I just remember being the teacher. I remember feeling somebody's eyes on me, and I looked up, and the teacher was like looking me up and down. I just remember, and I caught him, and he like kind of went a bit awkward, and it was just so vile to me, and I felt so embarrassed and like shameful about it. Because you do feel like, I think women take that on when they're like looked at in the way, and it's like nothing to do with us at all. So yeah, and I remember people looking at my sister when she was very young. She developed boobs, big boobs, early on. And I remember being so, and even now, even though we're adults, I'm still really, I get really funny if men look at her, because I remember her being like 10, 11 years old, and older guys than my parents would stare at her, and it's just horrible, isn't it? So
yeah,
tangent, but yeah. So is it like a crucial point? Do you think it made you realise that maybe you had a funny like thing going on, or was it you had already realised and this was like a nice next journey?
Yeah, well, so the thing was, so I had the cast done, lovely experience, didn't really think that there would be this big
catharsis
exactly afterwards. It was just a nice thing to do at a festival. So the cast was taken off, and then it was left to dry outside the tent where the casting had been done. And we were walking around the festival, and we came back later in the afternoon to look at the cast. And our cast were drying alongside like a long line of different casts. And there were a couple of older women who were looking at the cast and discussing, like just like making comments about them. And they stopped at my cast and said basically just really nice things about my body, and said like, oh, to be that young and to be that fit, and wow, she's got a really great figure. And I was like, that they're talking about me. And they were also women that I'd spoken to earlier, and they were these amazing inspirational artists. And I was like, they're admiring my body. And then I stepped back and looked at it from an outsider's point of view and alongside the other casts. And I just realised that all of these different casts were so beautiful.
Yeah.
And that mine was, mine
just
was
part of that.
Part of that, exactly. Yeah. I just had this like massively, what's the word? Just, I had a moment of understanding my body and appreciating it in a whole new way, and then started really experimenting more with my clothes, and was just way more like proud of my figure, and was like, if I get that attention, that's not me inviting it, that's a societal issue that is, you know, a whole other topic. But so body casting for me personally, I've got a really long winded way of like telling
the body casting because it's like there's so many elements to it, and I feel like anybody that does something creative or an idea or a business or even something like I have my podcast, there's like a few different things that factor into the whole reason why you're doing it in the first place. And 9 times out of 10, there's usually like a personal connection to it as well. So,
yeah, definitely.
And that's what makes good listening as well, is like hearing these little bits come together.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was totally transformative for me. And then the cast, we left the festival and left the cast at the festival. Excuse me. And
if you want to have a drink, just call me. You will get the driest throat from doing a podcast ever, trust me. Left the casts at the festival.
So left the cast at the festival, didn't think about it too much. And then loads of things happened in my life. And fast forward 4.5 years. I've been living in Vietnam for 2 years.
Yeah.
I came back to the UK last summer just to visit home. And I got this message out of the blue from Shauna Wilson, who was the woman who did my cast at Shambhala, saying, Ellen, I've just found your cast in my shed.
Yeah.
Or in her like artist studio. And would you like it? So I was like, wow, this is going to be really strange and surreal and great.
Yeah.
So I went to collect it and had a really amazing chat with her, and she started telling me more about her background and her work as an artist, about kind of exploring women's bodies and the therapeutic side of body casting. And I just listened and was covered in goosebumps and was like, please, can you teach me how to do this? So I think it was the next day I just went round and she taught me how to do it.
Amazing.
And then did a couple of friends. Went back to Hanoi in Vietnam and just had this like impetus in me to like keep going and exploring the art.
And do you think, well, this is like a rhetorical question for myself really, but I always feel like when somebody like goes through something or has like a shift in their thinking or has like overcome something or like, yeah, just has like a change of mindset, there tends to be like this urge to share it with people, to help people like do the same. And is that how you felt in terms of, oh, I didn't expect this to have this effect on me, but it has. Now I feel really good and I can see how differently I think, and now I want to help other people do it too. Definitely. Is that part of it?
Yeah, that's totally it. Yeah. And I found, firstly, it was just kind of a creative thing, wanting to do it with friends and for friends to be like, you should experience this.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to kind of be part of the experience for you as well, and that really nice connection that I have when I cast someone. And then this thing started happening with friends where during the casting, they would naturally, you talk about your body and like how it feels on your skin. And then also when the cast is taken off and you're looking at your body from a new perspective, it just, it brings
it's
up.
It's really weird. Yeah. It is really weird. I didn't react in the way, I don't know how I was going to react when I got cast. I think the funny thing for me is, and like quite depressing, is for me it just felt like a treatment. And because I'm so used to doing massage on other people, I don't know, but when you said that for other women it had like brought up a lot of stuff, I'm generally okay with my body, but I thought, you know, maybe deep down I'm not, and I'll get emotional. And when actually it was just like very nice to have somebody do the cast, I was like, oh, this is nice to have some like attention on me for once rather than doing it. So I think maybe I'm probably like an anomaly there, because a lot of people probably have stuff come out. But I think the biggest thing for me when I saw my cast was I'm a lot smaller than I thought I was. I don't know if that's because I've still got maybe a bit of body dysmorphia, or I think because I'm very tall. I am tall. I feel like I'm bigger than I actually am, because when you're tall and you're all arms and legs and you're taller than people, you just generally feel like you're bigger. I don't know how else I can describe it. Mm. So to see my actual body for what it was kind of, yeah, a bit of a wake-up call. And also for me, just to like chill out, like, you know, I don't know, sometimes I think I'm a bit bigger than I am when I'm really not. And I loved it. I was like, oh, that's me. It just gives you that like outside, I don't know, it's like that whole concept of like talk to yourself how you would talk to a friend. You would never say the things to a friend unless you're a nasty person that you say to yourself. And to see my body from, yeah, as you said, like objective, it was like, wow, my body really doesn't look like I thought it did.
I'm so glad you felt that way.
Yeah.
And also when I was cycling home after we'd done the casting.
Yeah, which we did in my garden, by the way. In the sunshine. And it was a random like sunny day and we had like Prosecco. And my parents' garden was looking really nice and all the wildflowers were out. And it felt very ritualistic, I felt.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you saying? No, just when I was cycling home and I was kind of reflecting on the experience and our conversations, it just made me so happy to, like, remember you when we had the cast laid out afterwards.
Yeah.
And you said, I love you.
Yeah, because that is like, we have to be a bit more like, oh, I love you. Like, when I was going through like horrible stuff over the summer with my body and I wasn't very well, I had the biggest, not wake up call, but like the biggest gratitude just to be healthy again and to like have, just to be able to leave the house and like not worry about things happening. And, yeah, my whole perspective on like how I wanted my body to be changed. It went from like, oh, I need to do a bit more exercise because I want my stomach to be a bit flatter and I want to feel stronger, to, oh, I just want to like get to a place where I can leave the house without worrying about bleeding all over the place or whatever, because I was obviously going through a lot of reproductive like trauma.
Yeah.
So that completely like switched my mentality on it. And so, yeah, it was like, yeah, you can pick yourself apart, but at the end of the day, you have to like give yourself a bit of a tap on the shoulder and be like, I love you, body. Like, I've got both arms and legs. Like, you're keeping me going. And ultimately, that's like the most important thing, isn't it? So,
definitely.
Yeah. And I did feel very affectionate towards my cast. It was really funny.
Yeah. That's the ultimate goal of like all of these things that I'm doing. It's, yeah, if I can be part of someone getting to a point where they appreciate and love their bodies more, that's
it's amazing, isn't
it? Yeah, it's really
beautiful. And where else do you get, I mean, a photograph is just not the same, or a video.
Yeah.
At all. Like, where, in which kind of situation can you see your body from, like, an outside perspective in, like, a 3D form? You can't. So
exactly,
none of us can really feel that appreciation or affection as, like, a separate entity, because we never get the opportunity to do that. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Because you just said about potentially having some kind of body dysmorphia. But I actually think that everybody has... It's not necessarily dysmorphia, but we all have a perception of what we look like.
Of what we look like, yeah.
Which is really difficult to have a really accurate understanding of our form, of our size,
yeah.
because of the way that we feel and the way that, you know, that we walk, or,
yeah.
You know, loads of different factors. But yeah, when you look at yourself in a photo or the mirror, it's 2D.
Yeah.
And having your body cast and then seeing it from an outside perspective is kind of the only way that you can... Yeah, you can
see
kind of
it.
You can walk around your cast and see it from the side and see it from different angles.
Yeah.
And like you said, when, like, for you, you looked at it and said that your cast was smaller than you see yourself.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and saw
how you
of your
think
body,
it. Yeah, you know? How you think it is. Yeah. It's such an interesting process. Like, I really enjoyed it, and it's just quite nice to have. I guess, like, for when I'm older, to look back and be like, oh, that was my body when I was 30 or whatever, and to have that. And I think I would like to have, like, my lower half done and then have them on display. Is that really, like, narcissistic?
No,
I just think
it's a celebration.
But this is, okay, so this is, like, something I want to talk about, is the fine line between, like, being obsessed with yourself and what you look like and only feeling valued and confident and good because you feel good in what you look like, and genuinely being like, oh, my body looks great, or I don't think for me it was even like, oh, I think my cast looks really great. It was more of like, oh, that's my body in its glory, that's it, and I appreciate that. And for me, it's like, where do we draw the line in that? I just think it's a hard one, isn't it? Because women are shamed if they're, like, insecure, but then they're shamed if they're super confident. And yeah, I have this whole thing that I think, like, I believe that it's good to, like, if you want to look after what you look like, I think that's absolutely fine. But I think you should be, I don't want to say should, but I believe that being confident in, like, your skills and how you are as a person and how you relate to other people is, like, really what you should work towards, instead of just being confident in what you look like. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, totally. I wonder if you relate to this, that it's something that I've actually realised quite recently. And I think it's about just getting older and kind of going from girl to woman, that beauty and presence in a room, in a space, in company, really does, and it's not just that cliche, but
it
comes from within. But that within is about your well-being.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're relaxed and comfortable in your skin and you're feeling inspired by yourself and others around you, that comes through.
Yeah,
and that
of course
attracts others to you.
Yeah.
You know, beauty can mean a million things, but...
Well, I've had, I think, like, the most obvious example of, like, beauty presented to me in the fact that I used to be a model and used to go to castings where there'd be, like, 300 girls in one building and everybody's ticking the box of tall, slim, long hair, you know, beautiful. And there'd be some girls that you would look at and you wouldn't even think, oh, wow, she's, like, beautiful straight away, because she would just look like such a nasty person.
Yeah.
And it's really, that was, like, the biggest, for me, the biggest lesson, is there were so many beautiful, in quote marks, girls who were just not very nice people. They didn't have a nice energy for whatever was going on with them. They were probably insecure and comparing themselves to all the other girls in the room. But that was, like, my biggest lesson ever. And it really isn't about what you look like. It's, like, your energy and how you come across. Because you don't really notice that when you speak to someone, do you? It's how you're interacting with them. But, the, like, transition from, like, teenager to young woman to, like, mid-20s to then, like, 30s is, like, it's, like, such a learning curve, definitely.
Yeah. And when we were doing, when we were doing the casting in your garden, and we were talking about growing up and body image.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying that you thought that you should look like Shakira or like
Beyonce. I don't know. It would be really interesting to look at like people of the same age and who they thought they were looking up to. Because for me, it was like Beyonce, Jennifer Lopez, Ashanti. It was like R&B heavy. And they all had like amazing athletic, curvy bodies.
Yeah.
And I was like 5'10" and like a stick insect with no boobs. And I think what I wanted to talk about as well in terms of your, like how you feel about yourself as like a young girl, a lot of the time you think that your worth is based on like whether guys will fancy you.
Yeah.
That was like a big one for me. And I just never felt like anybody would. And they didn't. That's like a fact. I didn't have anyone fancy me because of this like projected image of like what young girls should look like. And I had friends that had like bigger boobs and big bums and they were curvy. And all the guys went for them all of the time. And I was just kind of a bit gawky. And that really like carried on for quite a long time until I was like old enough to realize it's all bullshit. But from quite an early age, that was like a big thing.
But I wonder how much of that is also from the boys at school, from their perspective, how much that was who they were supposed to fancy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but who they're told to. I actually had this conversation with Alex, my boyfriend. We were talking about Instagram and liking photos. And I think I read somewhere that a psychotherapist who's been a therapist specializing in relationships therapy and couples therapy for like 30 years has said that nothing has had a bigger impact on relationships than social media. And it was talking about, like boyfriends liking other girls' pictures. And I was on Instagram the other day and a picture came up of literally a naked girl with her bum in the air. And I'd seen that my boyfriend had liked the picture and in a rage, I'm being honest here because I feel like this is something that a lot of girls feel like. And if you don't feel like that, I think girls don't want to acknowledge that they do feel a bit jealous or they do feel a bit like insecure when that happens. So there's this narrative of like, oh, it's only a like, it's only this, and it's played down a bit. But I know so many friends and so many women that that really affects. And I was speaking to my boyfriend about it and I was like, look, I don't have a problem with you appreciating another body. I appreciate women's bodies. Mm. I think for me, it's context. And when the way that the body is posed is like highly suggestive and highly sexual. For me, that like, I just think, what are you doing? You're like publicly showing that you appreciate that. If it's some, you know, I don't have a problem with somebody looking great in a bikini, but I do think, especially on Instagram, there are photos which are like intentionally suggestive. And so we had a really good conversation about it. And Alex was like, yeah, but Rosanna, he was like, number one, I don't even think that much about it. To which I said, well, I think you need to ask yourself, like, be a bit more mindful. And second of all, he was like, that's all the images that are out there. And he was like, I don't search for images of girls, but the ones that are presented to me are all of the same. And he was like, I know it's, you know, it's not great that I unmindfully like a picture. He was like, but there isn't like a wide range of bodies shown. And I was like, you know what, he's actually fucking right, it's true. But it's this kind of, it's almost like, whose responsibility is it? Is it the girl who's got her bum in the air, like in a very sexual pose, which to me I feel like is kind of directed towards men? Is it her responsibility, or is it like a man's responsibility to realise that that's what that photo is for and be a bit above that? It's a fucking, like, it's so mind-boggling to me.
Like, psychologically, what that's doing to, I mean, not just men, like, boys. This is a thing of people that are being, you know, are growing up with Instagram. To, if he's saying that, if he's seeing maybe one body type that's coming up and he's liking that, because that's all that's presented, whatever. Yeah. If he's seeing that, liking it, not thinking that much, and that's happening every day, what is the effect long term psychologically on what you then find attractive out in the real world?
Yeah. And it's interesting because I had that conversation. I was like, Alex, if you want to be woke and like, if you want to like help the cause, don't engage with it. Because first of all, like on a technical Instagram algorithm perspective, whatever you engage in, you get fed more. And also, I just feel like don't play into that kind of highly sexualized images of women that are basically there for men. Like, don't play into it, because I know for a fact Alex is very like, finds all different kinds of women attractive and doesn't just like one body type or one hair color, or, you know, like, he's really not like that. So I think in that respect, Instagram is so unhealthy, because it is making people mindless. And I'm not just talking about bodies, but whatever we absorb, people aren't paying much attention to it. But it's going in, because it's just repetition over and over again.
Yeah,
that was a massive tangent. Sorry, but I just thought...
No, it's all linked though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It came from me saying that you wanted to look like Shakira.
Yeah.
And I was going to say that it's interesting, because we grew up, you know, we were at school around the same time.
Yeah, and what boys feel like maybe they should be liking. But, yeah,
so
of course.
You were wanting, for example, to be more like Shakira, and I was like more curvy, and I thought I should look like Keira Knightley and like Kate Moss.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's that thing of that we were talking about, which is how it all links to perspective, and the fact that there isn't one body type, and that's the whole point.
Yeah.
And that's the, like, why there isn't, yeah, there isn't a standard, and there isn't one thing that's beautiful. And like, if, unless we are really conscious about it and, you know, have these kinds of conversation, those kind of cycles,
you just internalize the same type of image, don't you? And I also think as well, like, from a relationship perspective, like, actually having a conversation like that, get, you know, don't just say, oh, you fucking liked a picture and it's like made me feel like this, because I don't think somebody should stop doing something just because the other person might feel a bit insecure, or I don't think that helps, you know, that other person like grow, for example. Like, I in the past have like felt jealous or felt insecure, and asking Alex to not do things doesn't make me feel any more secure, you know? Like, I think you have to build your own self-worth, your own confidence, regardless what other people are doing. I can't remember what I was going to say now.
By the sound
but
of
in
it,
terms of having, like, that's it, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, healthy conversations in a relationship, not having a go, not just talking about it because you got emotional, but like actually the bigger picture, which is like, I think what Alex said to me, he was like, I was like, look, if I see a friend's boyfriend like a sexy picture on Instagram, I think, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you look like a dick. And he was like, oh, well, I don't want to be branded like that type of person. I was like, well, don't do it then. Because I think a lot of women share that view of, and I think guys are so different too, but like, it's almost a bit disrespectful to show something so outwardly suggestive publicly.
What, for a woman to do?
No, for, I think, for a man to do. I think a lot of women feel like it's disrespectful.
Like it.
Yeah. And actually, like, guys don't think that much about it at all. It's not that deep for them.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's interesting, because I haven't really thought about this, like, this as a concept so much. It's not, I guess... I'm fairly new to Instagram as well. That's another thing.
Yeah.
And I tend to use it more. To be honest, I follow, like, the majority of the people that I follow and engage with are women who I'm, like, inspired by. So it's like...
yeah, that's the, like, same as mine. It's like 97%. I looked at my insights and it's like 97% female, and the age bracket is like 24 to 34. And I was like, yes, I'm doing something right. This is, like, the audience that I want.
But, yeah, that's kind of... That's not... And I'm not in a relationship, so it's not something that I'm even, it's on my radar.
I think it's an interesting one.
That's really interesting that's,
that's
actually a really big thing for a lot of people. And the fact that that's impacting relationships.
And regardless of, like, how confident or secure you are in a relationship, like, and or trust or, you know, things like that, I think when something's so, like, visual and, like, in your face, it's hard not to be like, oh, you know? But moving on...
Yes.
So let's really quickly talk about the process, like how you actually do the casting. What it's made of, what it feels like, how long it takes.
It's funny because I don't, when I like share images, I just share the kind of the final, either when it's painted or, you know,
the
when
end
it's
result.
Drying. Exactly. So actually most people that I've cast have come into the space having no idea what's about to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't, yeah, I haven't tended to kind of explain it, but it's really simple. It's, yeah, like you said, if you break your arm or something, it's plaster cast, so it's bandage. They come in rolls, and then I cut them to different sizes, soak them in warm water, and then it, like, spread them across.
Did I put oil on? Yeah, I put oil on because I'm quite hairy, yeah.
For everyone, it just helps it to lift.
Because I remember as it was lifting off, especially around the sides, because I have, like, downy hair all over, well, I think most people do, but because I'm darker, I think I have a bit more.
Everyone does. It's so funny. Really? Almost every woman that I've cast has been like, I've got hair around my nipples, or I've got hair under my arm, like under my belly button. I'm like, there hasn't been a single woman who doesn't. Like,
yeah.
That's just our bodies.
I think mine's just like the general like fuzz, which I do have like the darker hair, like in those places, but also just like, that's why I don't really do facial hair removal on my own face, because there's so much of it that actually it would show up more if I removed the hair than if I just like left it. But I remember as it was lifting off the sides, like where my stomach is, and like,
did you feel it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so plaster coming off, so that's why we had oil.
Yes, so you put oil all over your body, and then the plaster bandage is kind of spread across. It's like you said, it's a bit like a spa treatment.
Yeah, it's like having a body wrap.
Yeah, so it's warm, and then as it sets, it's the temperatures change quite a lot. So it's quite an interesting experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
A sensory experience. That as it sets, the heat from your body sets it, and it becomes colder and harder. And then it lifts. So
yeah.
It's quite a natural
thing. It's quite magical how it just like comes away. And I liked before how you said that kind of physical... like lifting,
shedding of skin
is almost getting something off your chest is really good.
There was a woman, so I did this Everybody's Story project for an exhibition project in Hanoi, and asked the women that I cast to write a short story.
Yes, that's what I wanted to move on to, because the casting was like the initial thing, and then I guess you had that like little mindset change, and then realised it was a bit of a transformation that then led to like other people's stories.
Yeah, totally. So like during the casting process, people would, or the women that I was working with or casting, would tell me stories. And sometimes some of the women were friends that I've known for over 10 years. And in this space of an hour and a half, they were telling me things about how they felt about their bodies that they might not have even said out loud or ever spoken to me about. So I just realised that it creates this space and for sharing, which is really great.
There's almost like something quite ancient and like ritualistic about it, in terms, I was just thinking then of what do women do like with each other that isn't, I don't know, like being a midwife to a birth, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like in terms of like life stages and things that happen, it's like there's not very many one-on-one like intimate occasions like that happen, and so it's quite nice to like create that. And I don't know, I see it as quite ancient, you know, when you hear of old witches or old sort of like wise women that would like perform rituals and things like that. It's like that kind of vibe. I love that.
And it's also set, like there is something really magical about it, because it's setting something literally in cast. It's like that
moment in time.
Your body cast, that will forever be exactly how your body looked the day that we did
that's
cast.
What I love about it, I think, more than a photograph. And also, you know, when you well, I say this, but when I was younger, for example, when I was probably a bit body dysmorphic, I would like hate how I looked in photographs, and then 5 years later I would look back and be like, oh, I looked pretty great. Like, what was I worried about? And I feel like this is like an example of that as well. Like, I'll probably look back and be like, oh yeah, that was the summer that your body was all over the place, and actually it was in one piece, and like, it's great. So it's like a fossil.
Yeah, it's a time capsule.
Yeah.
And that's why I really like to paint them, gloss them, and then paint them gold. Because it's like...
golden.
Golden. And you can't look at body that is cast in gold, and the woman who has had their body cast has, you know, done something bold to have that done, for that to be displayed, it's just so strong and powerful.
And I feel like with the gold as well, it's, you can't, all of the bodies when they're painted in gold, like the first thing you think of is like a goddess, I think.
Yes.
And no, I think there's great. That really clear association with like gold and like, yeah, that. Would you ever do other body parts? Or you, because you do torsos and like arms, don't you? So would you want to do other body parts? Or do you feel like just that torso is what really represents a woman? Or
I don't know, actually. It's funny thinking about it. I mean, because of plaster bandage, you can't, for example, you couldn't do a hand.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of like the only big space of body that you can create a whole form
is a torso.
Using plaster. I am interested in learning other plaster techniques.
Yeah.
And casting techniques. Maybe. But I do think that there's something, the torso, I mean, just historically.
It's quite like iconic, isn't it?
Yeah. It's that kind of statue, really strong form. And I feel like it has a lot of character, and it gives you posture. That's the thing. It's like a stance, and it's,
it has more of an impact.
The body,
doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's interesting actually, because there's been a lot of, I've seen like a lot of companies have started bringing out candles and like statues of those like quite traditional, torso kind of, I guess
like
what you do. Yeah. And what I wanted to talk about was like almost beauty ideals, because those old like Greek, you know, statues and stuff, like the women were like being celebrated, and men actually were being celebrated for their bodies, which I think then did create a bit of an ideal. But do you think there's anything wrong in that? Because I, for example, I bought this candle from this really nice company, and they have like the female archetype. Like even Alex was like, that is just, would never happen in real life. Her waist is so small that like she wouldn't even be able to stand up. Her bum was so curved from the side. It's like she probably would have like some kind of spinal condition, and she had huge boobs and she was still managing to stand up straight. I think she's beautiful and I love her. And I think I've noticed a lot of these companies too have like brought out more like body positive shapes, which I think is great, because that means that people who have those body types can like buy their own body type or whatever. But do you think there's anything wrong in having like these classic beauty ideals?
Interesting question.
Because I think there's some people, like if we're talking objectively and like literally just talking about what people look like, there are some people in the world that have abnormally, you know, different bodies in terms of like the perfect body, and that is their body. And I don't think that means, because it's been used as a beauty idol, that it shouldn't be celebrated. You know,
I think there are definitely across the board unrealistic beauty standards just presented by the media, and what the images that we tend to see in advertisements and in films and in campaigns, like there is.
And it's been based on that type of body, because there are people that have those bodies.
Yeah.
But I think it's been glorified and then kind of mass produced and then made into like the standard. No, it's just just an idea, because I know that there's lots of body positivity stuff, and I don't know where I sit, but I feel like if somebody looks like that, they shouldn't be shamed for it. And It's just there's so many different trends at the moment, isn't there? That it's like you feel like you can't do anything without it being wrong. Or
so it's interesting to bring up actually what body positivity means, because there is what I'm doing. I don't feel, obviously it's linked to a big movement that's happening around body positivity on Instagram, especially at the moment, because it's about body image and diversity. But I do understand that I am like a slim white woman. I don't feel that I'm, you know, a huge part of the body positivity movement.
Yeah, no, nor do
all.
I, because it's not not for us,
well,
is it?
Body positivity was set up by black fat women.
Yeah.
And is a big thing about kind of,
it was celebrating like marginalised bodies.
Exactly.
So including like disabled bodies too.
Yeah. And for what I'm doing personally with the Everybody's Story project, and with body casting, it's a big focus on storytelling.
Yeah.
So it's like the process of creating a piece of essentially art from your body, and the process of identifying with yourself and your body's history and its future, and just about celebrating diversity, full stop.
Yeah.
So it's like the idea that everybody is beautiful, and not politicizing bodies or even that this project. It's, I don't know if that's...
No, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, this archetypal image of beauty, I try as much as possible to, through this project, actually completely remove it from the conversation and media itself, and just think, maybe, you know, maybe a few of the bodies that I cast will have
fit into that
similar measurements to the candle that you bought. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that every woman has
individually
a different body, and every woman, if every woman that I cast and display in the exhibition feels empowered by their cast and proud and to be that bold, and other women and men who come to the exhibition see the bodies and are inspired by them, it's like, that's kind of
the point.
That's the point.
And I also think just having a space where you can see many different bodies in one place in a 3D form is really important.
Definitely.
Because you realise there aren't... Sorry, my laptop keeps going off. Because there aren't very many bodies that are like that archetype. I think my point was, I think you can appreciate those things and you can think, yeah, that's like a Greek goddess body and it's beautiful, but just take it with a pinch of salt, and that doesn't mean that other bodies can't be, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Should we read the story that I chose from the book?
Yes.
Because you're talking about storytelling.
No, it feels like a good time, definitely.
And I feel like maybe I should write a story about my body casting, but I don't feel like I had like a massive transformation. Mine was just very more like, much like, oh, I can see my body objectively, and like how I thought of it is completely different to what it actually is. But which I guess is a story in itself, isn't it?
It doesn't have to be, you know, this huge life-changing thing. It's the fact that it was a nice experience.
It was a lovely experience. Okay, so I chose this one because I just thought it was nice. It's a shame that the listeners can't see the cast.
Describe it.
So this one, oh, it's so...
It's difficult,
isn't it? It's so hard to describe. So this one, I would say she's quite slim and like maybe quite petite. Is she?
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah.
And her left boob is maybe a bit bigger than her right boob. And it's quite hard to describe a cast. And she's got some arms.
And it's painted gold.
And it's gold. But generally, I would say quite a petite person. But that's not why I chose it. It was more for the story. So I'm going to read it out. My relationship with my body has always been about the unknown. I have always taken extra care of my body, not for aesthetic reasons, but for health. I was adopted, and until recently, I had no idea where I came from, what I carried in my body. I feel like many people take for granted knowing what they carry in their genes, what foods suit them best, what types of cancer they should be extra aware of, even hints of what they might look like when they are older. The experience of seeing my body cast was like an out-of-body experience. Relatable. I got to look at my body from an outside perspective. It made me feel grateful and thankful to it. It has been a vehicle for me to interact with in the world. I don't know what happens after death, if body and soul are separate, but even from a dualist perspective, I still strongly believe that my body makes part of who I am, and I should always remember to be kind to it. Yeah. I feel like that is probably the closest one that I feel that's like what my experience was like, is when you can I don't want to say objectify, but that is what you're doing in a positive way. In a way, you're making an object out of your body, because we're in our own bodies, we're in our own heads, we can't see it. And when you've got like something that you can appreciate and look at and be grateful, it was so nice. I loved it.
Oh, good.
I also thought it would be worth mentioning the fact that you are training to be a teacher as well. And I know you want to be careful about protecting students and stuff like that, but you are working in a girls' school.
Yes.
And I just think, like, who else would you want as, like, a teacher in a girls' school with what you're doing? Because you're creating this cool space for women to have this process done and accept their bodies and thank their bodies and realize that all of their bodies are like worth putting in an exhibition for a start.
Mm-hmm.
So what more could like somebody want from a teacher teaching young girls? Because young girls at the moment, it must be pretty hard for them. So yeah, I thought I would put that mm-hmm. in. And then do you want to talk about your exhibition with the 50 torsos?
Yes. So
I can see what it looks like in my mind.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So, like shared the vision.
Like an army.
The project is called Everybody's Story. So this idea that every single body has its own story.
Yeah.
And it's equally beautiful and unique. And I created an exhibition in Hanoi in January. I can't believe it was
it's the same year.
So strange, isn't it? And that, oh, even thinking about the opening and there were so many people.
Yeah.
Such a strange concept, isn't it? And the concept is I cast women and with kind of the goal of casting a diverse range of women in terms of ethnicity and stories and body shapes and all of these kind of things so that we can kind of represent lots of different ways that it, you know, what it means to be a woman.
Mm.
So I have a space in, so I have a gallery space, which I'm really excited
about.
We're
in Bristol, by
the
way.
We're in Bristol. And I will be casting 50 women.
Have you chosen them yet?
No.
Okay, well, this is a good...
Yeah.
You definitely get 50 people from it. It might turn into 100, but yeah, carry on.
So 50 torsos that will be painted gold and displayed in this space. So it is just going to be hopefully really powerful.
I think it will be.
Mounted and strong and golden, all of these different
women
standing alongside each other. And literally I feel like they speak, they've got a voice. And even without... I think what's great about them as well is that because they're all gold, there's no colour, there's no
face. I was just about to say, it's like a unity, isn't it? So like, even though the whole point is diversity, the fact that they're all painted one colour, there's like that nice symbolic kind of everybody's one. You can't tell if somebody's black or Asian or white or... I think that's it.
Or disabled.
Gay or disabled
or
straight
or mental health condition.
Yeah, or has curly hair or straight hair or you just,
exactly.
Young or old, you can't tell. So I think that brings a nice element into it as well.
And the focus is really on the story as well. And it's about creating a space for us all to share stories and encourage us all to have conversations like we're having.
Yeah.
But also this idea that to see all of these bodies together... presented alongside their stories will hopefully encourage people to think about the fact that what you see isn't necessarily
how that person's feeling.
So there'll be the cast and they'll all be numbered, and then I'll create a space in the middle that people can sit, and there'll be a book that I'm going to publish, but also kind of handouts so people can sit and look at all the casts, and maybe they'll look at number 4 and then they can open the book and read number 4's story.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a way of giving these women a voice and presenting them. And then also I want all the women to have the cast to keep.
Yeah, of course.
So that's really beautiful.
Yeah, that is really nice. You're part of it and then you get to keep it.
Yeah.
And I think as well, just having something where women especially can be really, really honest about their bodies or not even about their bodies, but and not be judged because... although there is a torso of them, it's faceless, there's an object which you can align with the story, but mm-hmm. the person's not there, so they can be utterly vulnerable and not be judged.
Yeah.
And I think if that's one thing that women can do and is to not judge each other
definitely
as much.
Yeah. And actually for men as well, when I did this a smaller scale exhibition with the same concept in Hanoi, something that I hadn't kind of realised would be the case, but one of the most powerful things felt it was men coming in and reading the stories and saying, I either overheard it or they said it to me, that they had never realised that women thought certain things about their bodies or that comments had
affected them so much.
Some of the stories was like an ex-boyfriend told a woman that she wished that she had bigger boobs, or that kind of thing, or like made comments about her stretch marks. And that carried this, some of these women told their stories about how that, you know, that
I'm sorry, but who are these life? People that even fucking notice? You know what I mean? Like, I just think, I know this sounds like very stereotypical and very like gendered, but I don't know any man that notices things like that. And I just wish women would realise that. And any man that does point that out has got bigger issues going on with himself to point out a fucking stretch mark or to say, I wish your boobs were bigger. I had, when I was younger, had smaller boobs, and I don't know, maybe boyfriends thought that, but they never fucking said it. And if they did, they'd be dumped. And I think that's what needs to happen. So if you're somebody out there whose boyfriend tells you that they wished you looked different, that is not to do with you at all.
Also men saying things, passing comments, a small thing about,
yeah,
oh, that you would look good if you had, da, da, da. It might but they're not,
it's even like, innocent. No, yeah, we're talking about this
and we know that that's something that is like really damaging and like not very kind to say. These are things that I think often aren't questioned and have become normalised or whatever. So,
well, it's providing an opportunity for then men to have an insight into what it's like for us.
So this Everybody's Story project, it's planned for next October. So October 2021.
Fingers crossed.
In Bristol, yes. And I'll be casting during the summer. So I'm kind of putting all the plans together at the moment. And I want it to be, so it's going to be an exhibition and a book launch as well. Mm. It's kind of, it's my artwork and the cast with the women. But also in the space, I want to run a programme of events around storytelling and celebrating women's bodies.
Yeah.
So the idea at the moment is 10 days and every night having a different event in the space. So doing like life drawing, or talks, podcasts, movement workshops. My friend Lydia, who runs Made My Wardrobe, mm-hmm. She's a seamstress and she teaches women to make their own clothes. So that's kind of like a nice way of how we can dress ourselves and celebrate
feel
our
nicer
bodies.
About ourselves.
Exactly.
And I personally I really struggle with clothing and feeling comfortable in clothes, just because I just feel like unless you've got a personal tailor, it's so hard to find clothes that fit. And I think deep down inside, I am just like a kid, and I would be happiest 100% just not wearing any clothes or shoes and running around naked. That is ideally how I would like to be. I really do feel like I'm oppressed by wearing clothes, and I think that's partly to do with the fact that I should be living in a hot country.
Have you read Women Who Run With Wolves?
No, but I think you're like the 10th person to recommend that.
I've got a coffee.
I'll take it home with me. Yes, little book recommendation. Mm-hmm. That's a question I should have asked, was like, what was the latest book you read?
I actually just started, it's not linked to anything that we're talking about, but I've just started reading Black and British, which have you heard about it?
Yeah, it's on my saved for later list
and
on Amazon. Sorry.
I got mine from the school library because I was just before half term, I felt like I wasn't taking it from the students.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't taken it out. But it's designed for children.
Yeah.
So it's like he says that it's an introduction to Black history and it's really concise. Loads of visuals, loads of timelines. I just think it's such a great resource for everyone. And it's this thing that, this is really not linked to what we're talking about.
No, but you know what? Like the stuff that I talk about and the stuff that I post, what I listen to is like totally different. And I actually quite like that because I think it shows that you're normal and you've got interests.
Yeah. Well, this is the reason that I think this book is so great is that it's accessible.
Yeah.
And it's the same for, again, another little tangent, MenCap, which is an organisation that supports young people with learning difficulties and disabilities. They have a lot of online resources for young people with learning difficulties to, like, they're like simplified summaries of different issues. And there's COVID guidance on their website at the moment. And it is crystal clear.
Yeah.
It's like bullet lists, really, really simple language, and I think that everyone should read that.
Yeah.
And it's the same with I think that everyone should read Black and British a book designed for children, because it's like, if there is a resource that is just the baseline and the foundation.
Well, they say, don't they, like, if you can explain something complicated to a child, then that's like, that truly shows that you understand it. And if you can like break it down and simplify it, then
and things don't get lost in jargon and
And there's an element of like privilege and exclusivity to that, isn't there? Mm-hmm. So I think if we can like break down, make it more accessible and understandable, then that's like a positive overall.
Totally.
So we've made good progress. I think we've done an hour. Let's do, what were you going to say?
Just one thing about the exhibition.
I'll put all the details in the show notes underneath as well. So there'll be dates and like your website and where to find you and stuff.
Perfect. Thank you. So yeah, in summary, it's going to be a 10-day exhibition with this book that I'll be releasing alongside the cast and the stories, a series of events. And at the moment, so based in Bristol, I'm looking for women and organisations and groups to collaborate with for these events.
So should we do the questions that I ask everybody, the little quick fire questions? Are you ready?
Let's go for it.
Don't think too much about it.
I haven't actually read the questions, so this is just going to be
so it's actually going to be legit. Okay.
Yes.
Do you want to take a sip? Are you okay?
Yeah, I will.
So first of all, I ask, because this whole podcast is designed to inspire women and to educate them a bit and empower them and make them feel confident in themselves, as well as like a little bit of like fun beauty stuff, because that's nice. Who inspires you?
Mm-hmm.
What women inspire you?
It's funny, if you hadn't specified women, I think that it would be women anyway.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. I think on a day-to-day
like gut, level, knee-jerk response.
My mum, my sisters, and my like best friends. It really is that. And I think there's that thing of you become a product of the five people that you
hang around with,
the most. Yeah, totally true. You know, when you, I don't know if you've worked in jobs where you're like working in the company of people who aren't very inspiring, and you feel that. I mean, like I'm thinking like hospitality when I was a bit younger.
Yes, there's no connection or community, is it? It's a bit different when you work in a spa or a salon, because you've got like a shared set of skills and there's a very big team community, and it's very female as well. So I have had that, but I have worked in uninspiring places.
Yeah, or just not a massive point on that, but just thinking that if you are surrounded by a certain type of energy, it, you know, rubs off and you can start to feel that you're like a bit more drained or whatever, and that's the big thing that I always go back to. If I'm feeling a little bit not so inspired, I'd kind of think
check yourself and who you've been interacting with.
Totally. I think it's really important to check in with that and be really conscious about, you know,
also that's why I don't socialize very much.
it's
draining, but I do think that's a bit of a self-care thing, as people feel like obligated to socialize a lot with friends. I did like a little video on this on Instagram, actually. I personally feel like if you can't tell a friend that you're tired and you can't be bothered, then they're not a good friend. Like, obviously there's a line between being flaky and unreliable and unsupportive, but also sometimes you just need to like take a rain check, and I think that's really important. A lot of people say that sisters, mums, friends, they're around, and I think if you've got a good support group, then
it's really raining outside, isn't it?
Then that's really important
and
helpful.
Yeah, I'm really lucky that especially some of my best friends are doing great creative things. So I love checking in with my best mates, and when they've got exciting projects or dancing ideas, it's like I quite often get I get a lot
recharged.
Of energy from that.
Definitely. And I also think
it's such a nice thing to exchange.
I think it's really important to be around people that are doing things for themselves, and there's not this kind of like needy dynamic where you're kind of relying on each other a lot because you're not doing anything with your life. And so I think when you start to take that power and you start to be independent and do things for yourself, you attract people that equally are doing that, and then you end up with great friends that are like doing fun creative projects
and
don't mind if they don't see you for 4 weeks or whatever because they're busy. It's good. And what does self-care mean to you? Because it's like that word is thrown around all the time, and I really like the concept of self-care, and I feel like a lot of people are kind of shaming it a bit, because obviously the beauty industry has taken massive, like, have a face mask, buy a product, self-care. So there's a bit of a like neggy name to it at the moment, but I really like self-care. So what does it mean to you, or like what do you do to practice it?
I think it's being kind to yourself, isn't it? It's kind of, that's the same as self-care. I have one of my best friends who I met in Hanoi. Her name is Chio. She's an amazing Chilean Mexican woman.
Mm.
And she, Hanoi, I don't know how much you know about the city, but
I know
it is absolutely hectic. Manic, hectic.
Yeah, I did know that.
Chaotic. Like I lived in an alleyway at T Junction, and my room had a balcony that literally faced the T Junction, and it was just constantly beeping. Yeah, just manic.
What you would imagine living in like a Southeast Asian city.
Totally. Just chaos, which was part of the reason I went there, to just put myself in a ridiculously kind of high energy setting. And what was I going to say about Chia? Yes, so I lived with her there, and I did get, at one point I got quite overwhelmed, and I think, I was suffering with anxiety and feeling quite panicky in moments, and was finding it quite difficult to deal with,
because
it was, there was no space,
no break from
be
it,
just quiet there. And it was a mixture of, I was also really busy and juggling loads of plates, so it was like running with adrenaline and anxiety, they got all kind of fed in. It was just it was a lot. And she gave me some words of wisdom, and said, whereas for me, before having this conversation with her, I'd seen anxiety as something that I had to push down. When I can feel it coming, I should just like do everything to like
avoid it,
put it under the carpet, and then it'll go away, hopefully.
Yeah.
But obviously that just means you've got this underlying feeling.
Yeah.
And she said that she had some words of wisdom from another woman, and it's nice to kind of pass it on.
Yeah.
That anxiety, your anxiety, is not something that comes to you and that you should ignore and reject. It's something that lives inside you and is part of you as a woman, with all of, you know, the passion and excitement and all of the things that you have inside. It's a product of that. And because it's part of you, you should look after it and nurture it. So if you feel the presence of anxiety, that's a sign that you should take care of it.
Yeah.
And be kind to it. It's like seeing anxiety as like a part of you. So from then I was like, I could feel it and I didn't see it as an enemy. I was like, I've got a feeling, my body's talking to me. This is a moment, like for me personally, so linked to self-care.
Yeah.
Yoga, like eating well, running, checking in with friends, like just doing, not
wholesome things.
I write in the morning pages.
I kind of do it naturally.
Oh, okay.
But then I once sat down and did it, and I was like, oof, this was interesting. I need to read back, because it was a while ago, and they say that you shouldn't read back straight away.
Yeah.
They say you should like wait 10 weeks or something.
Did you do the artist's way? Is that
what's
linked to?
It's crazy. I could have gone on for way longer, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then the other question, I like that about anxiety though, because I think there's a really common sort of misconception that anxiety is this like foreign body that kind of attacks you and you don't have any control over it. And it's really not like that. It can, I know a lot of people who are suffering from anxiety will be like, yeah, but it's not that easy. But like, there are ways of managing it. And it's not just, you don't just wake up with anxiety one day. It's not this thing that comes in the middle of the night. It is part of you.
Yeah.
And it's paying attention to it to try and balance it all out.
Actually, just as a side note, when I speak about my personal experience, that's, I do feel that for me, it's a feeling that I can kind of soothe, but I don't want to dismiss other people's.
No, of course not.
Anxiety, because I know some people suffer, you know, really, it really completely controls their
life.
And
I think anxiety, that word is thrown around a lot. And so now people, like feeling anxious, you know, before a job or a date or having to confront a friend about something that's happened, that sense of anxiety is very normal and part of life. And we shouldn't say that we have anxiety just because we feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the next question was, do you have any sayings or mantras? But it sounds like that lady's words of wisdom have stuck with you.
Yeah.
This is so like podcast question. Do you have a beauty, and I can't even like try and segue it into conversation to make it sound like better, but do you have a beauty or like skincare routine?
No.
That's
a short answer.
Okay,
I don't use any products.
You don't, and your skin is so clear. A lesson for us all.
Well, when I was a teenager, I used to do all of the, I can't even remember what they are now.
Clean and Clear. That's what I used to use.
Smell, the bright blue one.
Yeah, and do you know what? It's so funny because I used that as a teenager and then I started going out and getting drunk and I couldn't use it anymore because when I was so hungover, it would smell like booze. So I just couldn't do it. And thank God, because it was probably burning my skin anyway.
That's so funny. I'd forgotten about
that. So you don't use anything? Do you use oils overnight or like wash your face?
I do wash my face, yeah. Just my face?
Yeah.
Water.
Yeah.
Just water. Sometimes coconut oil, but not that regularly. I don't do anything.
For us all.
Yeah.
Less is more. People don't believe that about me because I'm always like exhibiting beauty products and stuff, but actually very like minimalistic and less is more. Because my mum was the same.
Doesn't really use products.
Only just a little bit. Yeah. But has always like kept it. I just think like the more you add is like the more that's going to confuse your body and stuff like that. So I love smellies and like playing with them, but actually don't use that very many.
There's sometimes I use moisturizer that has SPF in it, but that's literally like that's not a skin. I feel like that's not a beauty routine.
No, that's fine. I had like another guest and she was like, I've got like some toner that is about 5 years old, and that's like, cool. That's why I ask these questions. Final question, because a lot of people like, I don't really like saying it like this, but a lot of people like this podcast because I'm a really big believer in self-belief and confidence and just going for it. So what does confidence mean to you? I'm also a big believer of, if you don't know how to do something, look at somebody who does it really well and what do they do, what's their strategy. So what does confidence mean to you? Do you feel like you're confident?
I feel like in some areas, yes, I feel very, like teaching, for example, or running exhibitions and that kind of thing, I'm like in my element, very comfortable. And then generally as a woman, I feel like it's a constant process, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Kind of it's never like yourself. One thing.
Yeah.
It's very much day to day for me.
Yeah.
But what does it mean to you? Like, what does it mean to you, confidence?
I think its roots are in being comfortable in your skin and not doubting yourself. Like, yeah, I mean, I know that's kind of the definition of confidence, isn't it?
But for you, that's truly what it is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If I'm doubting or comparing or that kind of thing, that's when I'm like, take a step back and reassess.
I think for me, it's like, when I have like a wobbly like that, it's reconnecting to what I actually care about and what I want to do. And then that removes all the bullshit. And then I'm like, yes. It's like going back to your why, I think, is really important. Totally. Like, why am I doing this? Why do I care? Why don't I care? That kind of thing. Questioning. Yeah.
And when looking at other... It's funny that I always think about women, but looking at anyone else who I perceive to be confident, it's seeing someone who is just doing their thing.
Like,
obviously being considerate and kind as well, but just completely themselves and like owning what they're doing. That's kind of... that's the aspiration, isn't it? That's
100%. I think it always has been, and even more so now, where we get judged and criticised online especially and called out, and you can't say this and you can't say that. I think even more so it's hard to be yourself, so more kudos to people, to women that are doing that.
Definitely.
That's a nice finisher. Thank you so much. We're just going to carry on talking after this. But thank you for being the first guest back. I think this is a really good topic to bring the podcast back, and really excited to see your exhibition because I'll be living in Bristol then. I will put all of Ellen's details in the podcast episode notes, if I can remember how to do that, with a link to your website, Instagram, where you can see examples of the casts. And we'll leave it at that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yay. Bye. I always do a bye at the end.